Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Southern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
The information, comments, and links provided on this segment do not constitute legal advice. No attorney-client relationship has been or will be formed by any communications to, from, or with the listener and attorneys. For legal advice, contact an attorney actively practicing in your jurisdiction. Do not send any confidential or privileged information to the attorneys or radio show. Nor shall the attorneys, radio show, or associated employees assume any liability or responsibility for it. Also, no such information, documents, or materials will be returned to you. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this segment are hereby expressly disclaimed. Visit the KFK website for the full legal disclaimer.
Welcome into the Allo Communications Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Before we get into Ask a Lawyer, I do want to get to a couple of texts here. I'm driving the Rockies bandwagon bus, okay? I'm there driving it. Holyoke saying, I'm on the bus. I'm just munching on my snacks. Looks like the leak is fixed. Go Rockies. Don't mind me staring out the window, reflecting on Chassin's botched seventh inning. Yeah, for sure. You just do what you got to do, man. And got another text here. Your bus will have a flat before June. And I said, maybe from all the people trying to climb on, and they took that as a fat joke. It wasn't a fat joke, okay? There's just going to be that many people. Welcome in to Ask a Lawyer, joining me in the studio to maybe not talk about the Rockies because Havila knows nothing about sports is Havila with Bruno Lilly Legal. Bruno, how are you, Havila?
I am doing fantastic. What I want to know is the bus the Oscar Mayer Wiener hot dog?
Yes, with a Rockies logo on the side of it. Yeah, awesome. That's exactly right.
Okay.
There's room for everybody in there. It's like a party bus. So there's, in this imaginary world, there can be drinks. There's
Again, to recap, hot dog is still the correct answer.
Hot dog is the correct answer.
Okay.
And I got a dollar hot dog yesterday when I went because I was one of the first 10,000 fans. Taylor Myers with Taylor Made Legal Services. How are you? Are you on the bus? You on the Rockies bandwagon?
I'm not a bandwagon fan because I've been a fan.
That's okay. You can still just. That's why we're on it. It's because we're rooting for them.
But that means you weren't.
That means
before.
She's on. She's on. No. Okay. All right. So our accessories of the flare and hair poll question today is actually one of the things that I want to talk about with you two ladies, and that is about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. It takes a lot for me to talk about Hollywood actors and actresses on this program because I'm not a big fan of Hollywood.
But
Will Smith smacked the crap out of Chris Rock. That doesn't happen very often, okay? So this case is very bizarre. Ryan, let's play back. I don't know if you guys have heard this yet from this line of questioning. I just want to play it for you, and I want to get your instant reactions. Let's play this back.
Are you familiar with Amica cream?
What is it?
Amica.
Amica?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, when you say no makeup, you don't know she was not wearing makeup, correct?
For a fact?
Correct.
No.
And you don't know whether she had applied Amica cream, correct?
No. And I didn't even know what Amica cream is.
And do you know whether she had applied any Amica cream that morning to her face?
No.
And do you know whether Amber had any Amica cream on that day?
I don't.
And again, do you know whether she was wearing any Amica cream?
Sir, if you could just answer this question.
I'm totally sorry. No.
Instant reactions from either of you. Havila?
Well, I must be a bad girl because I don't know what Amica cream is either.
Apparently, it is just like this is the extent of my makeup knowledge. It's something just to cover up blemishes. It's like very clear. It blends in with the skin tone. And I think the line of questioning was along the lines of there was no bruising on her face and stuff like that. But to reiterate that 9,000 times, it felt like, that seems like a weird line of questioning.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why, as the attorney for Johnny Depp, you may or may not interject. So as that was happening, I was thinking about some of the objections that I would be making, and one would be asked and answered. And you launch that objection when you exactly have that line of questioning. the reason why you wouldn't do that is because you're just trying to show the jury that they are ridiculous. And the fact that Johnny Depp started laughing and the jurors sounded like they started laughing, that point was pretty well taken. So kudos to his lawyers for not objecting and letting that play out.
I think that Amber Heard, with as much money as she had, she didn't have to go on Wish to hire a lawyer. But I think that's where she found this lawyer was on Wish, because some of the questioning in here is just ridiculous.
Yeah, she didn't sound like she had her stuff together, that's for sure.
No, she didn't. Your thoughts on that?
I just looked it up. I don't even think she got the name right. There's something called Arnica cream that's for bruising. I literally just looked it up. I'm like, well, that would make sense because, you know, if you're trying to prove maybe she had some bruises.
You're right.
That would make sense, but she didn't really do a great job of explaining that.
No, and here's okay. So obviously, Depp is suing over the loss of potential millions because of these allegations that came out about him. But there was an audio recording that I can't play because of FCC rules about her saying, "I'm not even punching you. I'm hitting you. I'm hitting you. I could effing deck you right now. It didn't even hurt. You're an effing baby." Like, really damning stuff. I would have to imagine, like, with most domestic violence cases, especially high profile, when this comes out, it's going to be damaging to somebody's career. This seems like an open and shut case.
Well, I think the problem that they're having is that Amber Heard jumped on the Me Too train to try to say that Johnny Depp was abusing her, when in fact there was ample evidence showing the opposite, which is where all of this came into play. And her initially coming out with that op-ed and saying, look, here's the way that Johnny Depp abused me. He's saying, well, because of that op-ed, I've now lost out on all this money. Whether or not she knew that those recordings existed prior to her going into that op-ed, I think is probably one of the questions.
The op-ed, though, doesn't actually say his name, right?
Right. But, I mean, it was strongly insinuated.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know.
They were married at the time. Unless she was having an affair at that point, then I would assume that that's who they're talking about.
Yeah, you would assume, I guess, that's an interesting point to me. Is like, okay, you can say you've been abused, but, I mean, I don't know. It, without saying his name as an actor, that to me is kind of like, why can't, I guess she could just come out and say, hey, I've been abused. If she hadn't put the timeline in, I guess that's where, for me, it's
right.
Like, she can come out and say whatever she wants if that happened in their relationship, but it was clearly both of them.
Okay, so what? Are you part of the 3% that says they're on Amber Heard's side?
No. I'm just saying, no, I'm not on her side. I'm on Johnny Depp's side, but I'm saying people should be allowed to come out and say their side, but not like targeting someone. I guess I'm saying like she should be able to come out with an op-ed piece. My issue is, okay, she put the timeline in. That points out to him. So if she had just not done that, maybe I would have been
right. But she also hasn't proven any during this case. She hasn't proven any of the allegations were actually right. And the cut on her finger is allegedly from her throwing a bottle of vodka at Johnny Depp back in 2015. And that's the thing to me. Another line of questioning was to one of the security guards that said, "Have you ever seen Amber Heard do anything that would file under assault to Johnny Depp?" And he said, "Well, I saw her throw a glass cup at him." And she goes, "Well, nothing assault." And he goes, "Actually, by the state of California," like he said, "the state of California, that is assault." Like, this lawyer just seems way over her head on this.
So let's back up a little bit, because my understanding is not only did Johnny Depp sue Amber Heard for defamation, Amber Heard then filed a countersuit. And I think the reason why a lot of the incidences regarding Amber Heard are coming out is because a defense to a defamation case is what I said was true. And so now that he's presenting these recordings and he's got these witnesses saying, yes, I did in fact see Amber Heard do this to Johnny Depp, that means that what Johnny Depp said in the public was not defamatory, because they are in fact true.
So they're fighting two cases at once.
They are, because it's in a civil realm, and you can do that where one person launches a suit against another person, they can countersue the other person. You hear it all at the same time.
Did you see the craziness of it? So day one, apparently I've been told by Ryan that a Louis Vuitton suit is a thing. Johnny Depp wore a Louis Vuitton suit the first day. The next day, Amber Heard wore almost the exact same Louis Vuitton suit. In day two, Johnny Depp wore a black suit and a black tie. Day three, that's what Amber Heard wore. Day three, Johnny Depp put his hair in a ponytail. Day four, Amber Heard had a ponytail up. Like, there's like psychological mind game. Now, that might just be coincidence, but 4 days in a row, that seems weird. Do you see some of those, can you see those mind games in this come out at certain times in any domestic dispute?
Mind games, so I wouldn't call them mind games, but you are definitely engaged in psychological warfare as much as you're engaged in presenting a case. In any case, you're reading that jury, you're trying to figure out what's going on with them, you're trying to figure out the best way to show yourself and your client in the most favorable manner to this jury. And
you
so
you are having them wear a Louis Vuitton suit, and I saw a picture of Johnny Depp, and I take the rings off, man.
Why do you hate Johnny Depp?
I don't hate him. I like him. That's why I'm like, as your lawyer, you're in a suit where she's alleging you beat, like, maybe don't have it look like you're wearing brass knuckles from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I've never seen any of the Pirates of the Caribbean, I have to confess. Never seen a single one of them.
Okay, so now who's against Johnny Depp?
Well, I don't hate the guy. I just don't watch his movies.
Well, I think the thing that both lawyers have a challenge in is they are presumably sitting a jury that is normal people that are not actors or actresses. And they're going to hear a case about a dispute between two people who act, pretend for a living. That's what they do. And so they're going to be asked to assess credibility. And so Johnny Depp is playing a role and Amber Heard is going to play her role, even with like the clothing and the hairstyles and things like that. On the stand, they're playing a role. And I would bet money that somebody in closing arguments to this jury is going to say, you can't believe them. This is what they do for a living, right? And so here's the evidence.
But isn't Amber Heard an actress too? I mean, isn't it going to go both ways though on that at that point?
Well,
can't that be said about both of them?
Right. And then I think when you strip it away, that argument is going to be, so which one is supported by the facts?
Yeah.
And the facts are, you know, Johnny Depp has this recording and he brought in this security guard who testified this way. So, but I think we're going to see a little bit of that where they're going to say, look, both of them are playing you. They're playing it up. They know how to do this. They're professional. They're trained in this way. So you got to like take this away and look at what else you have.
Yeah. I think that I'm being a part of the problem for pushing to talk about this because this, I mean, there's so many domestic violence cases out there all the time, but when you have two famous people in it, that's going to get publicized. And this one obviously very much has in the first 5 minutes of posting the poll question today, it just went bonkers on this because everybody's got an opinion when it comes to it. So there's some people out there who live for this stuff and they eat this up. And so it is going to be widely publicized.
Correct.
All right, let's move on. Now, one other case that I wanted to get to that has been a big case here in Colorado for quite some time is the Barry Morphew's case. There was new developments in that. Havila, do you want to walk us through that?
So my understanding is the prosecution tendered very late endorsements, particularly regarding a couple of different experts that they intended to present at trial. And by very late, I mean like less than a month out from trial. When you're talking about a murder case those are notoriously complicated anyways, but this has some publicity. I don't think that they had any sort of direct evidence of the crime being committed. And so they needed these experts in order to kind of prove circumstantially that he had committed the murder. Ultimately, the judge said, this is too late. You can't do this. This is unfair. And said they weren't allowed to present their evidence regarding those expert testimony, which put the prosecution in a really bad position. They had to decide, can we move forward and prove our case against this guy without these experts, or can we not? And ultimately, they decided that they could not and dismissed the case.
Yeah, and so now they're continuing to look for the body, right? Can this be tried again? Can these charges be brought back against him?
That's the whole point is as to why they wanted the judge, like the why the prosecutors wanted it to rule the way they did versus what happened. So that's exactly why. So they can bring those charges again once they find the body, because I forget the statistics, but it's something crazy where it's like if you don't have a body, it's almost, it's very, very difficult to prove a murder.
Yeah, and Barry is also facing charges of tampering with a deceased human body, tampering with physical evidence, possession of a dangerous weapon, and attempting to influence a public servant. Court records show he's pleaded not guilty to all of those. Is this a way just to keep him where he is for right now, or is this just a, okay, we feel like we can prove these things?
Well, one of the things I'm looking at right now, and I didn't double check before Taylor's comment, is whether the charges were dismissed with or without prejudice. I'm assuming without prejudice.
Yeah.
But there's another sort of wrinkle in that plan. And so the prosecution, if they ever want to pursue this again, is going to have to be very, very careful in how they do it. Because just because they dismiss without prejudice, meaning they can rebring the charges at a later date and murder has no statute of limitations, that means that whatever time is left on speedy trial, if they decide to pursue those charges again, that's the time left on speedy trial. They bring those charges. He can set for trial. They better be prepared to try this case within that amount of time.
Yeah. Well, the motion that the prosecutors filed said, we are close to locating the deceased victim's body. In typical homicide cases, the fact of the victim's death is rarely at issue, but in a case such as this, the most influential fact of consequence is whether or not Ms. Morphew is deceased. As a result, prosecutors asked the case be dismissed without prejudice, meaning they could still pursue the charges, saying this dismissal is in the best interest of justice, the people and defendant and the public, they said. Obviously, you had Barry Morphew's attorney coming out saying that he is as an innocent today as he was when Ms. Morphew disappeared. So this is going to be something that draws out. What is the timeline on this? For the speedy trial type of things?
I mean, I think we've talked about this case a few times, and what it just draws back to me is locally, like the Janelle Matthews case, you can have as many facts as you want proving it. I think it was, what, like 30 years later, 25 years later, that they finally ended up taking that case to trial when they found the body. It just depends on until when the prosecution believes they have those facts and they're ready to go to trial.
That's got to be really defeating for the prosecutors at this point. When you say, you know, I'm sure that they had been told by a law enforcement, for the people who are looking for the body, that they were close, so they take it to trial, and then for them having to ask for this to be dismissed without prejudice, that has to be a defeating feeling.
Well, I think they're smart in how they're strategizing. They realize that they were in a bad position, that they only get one shot at this, and that they were likely going to lose. And this really was their only option left. I think you're going to see a couple of things happen. I think you're probably going to see the Attorney General's office come in and provide assistance because they have an entire segment dedicated to violent crimes. And they go out and help very small jurisdictions that maybe don't have the resources. So I think you'll probably see that happen. I think you'll also see that they're going to fix a lot of the problems that they realized they had coming into trial. Going back to the speedy trial question, just so that people understand what that looks like, once you enter a plea of not guilty and you say, I want to take this case to trial, I want the prosecution to prove that I am guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, they have, with certain exceptions, 6 months to try that case. So once that case is set for trial to the 6 month, that's it. That's all the time you have. So whenever he entered his not guilty plea to the date of dismissal is going to be taken away from that 6 months. If they ever bring those charges again, they only have the remainder left to try it, unless he himself says, no, I want to waive my right to a speedy trial. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, they took 4 months to litigate all these pretrial issues, and there's only 2 months left on speedy trial. If they bring these charges again, they better be prepared to try the case within 2 months.
All right. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see what happens there. Any final thoughts from you, Taylor, on this case?
Nope.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk about yesterday was 420, and of course, Colorado has a little different laws than everywhere. Well, not everywhere else, but some of the bordering states. We're going to talk about when you're arrested? How does those laws carry over if you're out of state? We'll discuss with the lawyers next. It's Ask a Lawyer right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, as we know, yesterday was 420 out there for those of you who partook. Picked a hell of a day to go to Denver, may I say, as well. But this had me thinking, and I'm sure it's common for both of these lawyers here, common knowledge, kind of like how getting a jury picked together and how all that goes is common knowledge. But for the rest of us, not so much. Joined in the Allo Communications Studios by Taylor Myers with TaylorMade Legal Services and Havila with Bruno Lilly Legal. So I want to talk about, start this conversation off talking about marijuana. Obviously, Colorado has decriminalized marijuana and has become really an advocate for it in many ways. So I want to set a scenario, and I want you guys just to walk me through how this is going to work, okay? So let's say Ryan, just picking a random name, goes out and buys some marijuana here in Colorado, where it's perfectly legal to do. He then travels across state lines, not using it, anything like that. It's in his back seat, but for some reason, when he gets pulled over in Nebraska, he's acting suspicious because he's nervous because there's marijuana back there. Will that case, and the cop finds it, will the case be tried in Nebraska under Nebraska laws, or will that be tried under Colorado laws, knowing he is a registered citizen of the state of Colorado?
My understanding, this was actually a question because it's fairly new law, right?
Yeah.
It was a question on my bar exam.
All right.
Because it came out like right along that time, but it poses a lot of really interesting questions, but it would be tried in Nebraska. And it's because you're in Nebraska, there's a lot of different constitutional issues, but you subject yourself to that state and those state laws when you are driving through that state. It doesn't matter where you purchased it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters in the grand scheme of things, but it doesn't matter as far as like immediately how that case gets tried.
So if that is the case and it is tried in Nebraska, if you're defending Mr. Ryan, would you make the argument there because he was in the state of Colorado, it was purchased legally in the state of Colorado? I mean, does that come up? Would that come up in the defense?
Oh, man, you asked me like 20 questions.
Good luck answering.
Yeah. So the crime is going to be prosecuted where the crime took place. That is the proper place for it to get prosecuted.
That's all crimes, correct?
Yes. Okay. And like, because there is consideration of going over state lines, that could potentially be a federal offense. But most of the time, the feds are not interested in that. And the states are more interested about keeping those substances out of their states. So more than likely, a state is going to take up the prosecution. Would it be a valid defense that he purchased it legally? No, because it's still federally illegal. It's still statewide illegal. So it doesn't matter if he obtained marijuana legally and then went into the state of Kansas. It's still illegal in Kansas.
That being said, I mean, it's still illegal, but is it, depending on the facts of the case, like if he's just getting pulled over for speeding, is a prosecutor going to want to take that to a jury to say, you know, he purchased this legally, do you want to convict him? Potentially, you know, that's just kind of more of a tactic of,
right,
hey, getting a jury together that says we shouldn't convict someone for purchasing something legally in that state.
Right. No, that makes sense. So more times than not, would you just be slapped with a ticket for possession of an illegal substance? I guess they don't ticket for that, do they? Or do they ticket for that?
Every state is treating it differently, and they're decriminalizing it at different rates. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what Kansas is doing, if they're considering that a petty offense and it's ticketable, or if they're still considering that a serious offense and they're arresting people on that. And if you're going to go across state lines with marijuana, you need to know that that's the risk that you take.
Not even across, sorry to interrupt, not even across state lines. Before I went to law school, I actually worked up in at Vail Resorts, and it was an issue then, and it's an issue now of, you know, snowboarders
like to smoke pot. Are you profiling snowboarders right now?
I snowboard.
I'm just kidding.
What are you profiling?
Right. Yes, no. Yes.
So you need to realize most of that, most of ski resorts are on federal land. And
okay.
We were told as employees a lot of the time, you know, if we think you have been smoking, we don't need a reason to come and drug test you. And so I remain friends, and they still do that even though it's legal
in the state
like, because they're on federal grounds, they can do that. So there's a lot to consider. I think that's mostly like, okay, that's through your employer. Is the federal government going to come and prosecute some snowboarders for smoking weed? I don't think so. But you can get fired from your job.
What are your thoughts?
On smoking marijuana on the ski slopes?
Well, I forgot to ask the first part of that question. Do you think that this needs to be federally regulated, where it's either legal or illegal, so that this mess kind of cleans itself up?
Yeah, I think
that's a better question.
Wish that they had passed the legislation regarding marijuana. I know that it died, and it did not end up getting passed. But I think we're seeing so many issues, and I'm not a lawyer that practices in marijuana law by any means, so I don't know all the nuances. I know enough to be dangerous. But we're seeing lots of issues, not just among state lines or even the difference between being on public Colorado land versus federal land. I think Taylor brings up a really good point that if the feds wanted to prosecute those people for smoking marijuana on the ski slopes, they absolutely could. But we're also seeing things where dispensaries have had significant issues setting up how they're going to actually sell appropriately. Mm-hmm. They can't bank with an FDIC bank. They had to set up their entire banking structure so that way that they could track it. They can't pay taxes because it's still illegal. They're engaged in an illegal business. So there's a lot that has been developed since these laws have been put into place. And I think a lot of the reason why people were promoting the legalization of marijuana on the federal level is to help start changing some of those issues that we're having at the state level.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But how mad were you if you were a drug dealer of pot when they legalized this? I mean, they had to have been pissed. All right, we got a question here. Okay, so Havilah always states don't talk to the cops. They want us to know that they're not in the middle of anything sketchy. So that's their disclaimer to start this out. But they're curious, when law enforcement is looking for any witnesses to a crime that took place or seeking the identity of someone, should you come forward straight away with the information if you know who that person is or know where their whereabouts are?
Well, it depends. That is going to be my standard lawyer answer. It depends. Was that person involved in the crime and potentially not just a witness? Because that's the protection that we're concerned about. Not just that you were sitting on the side of the road driving to go get your hair cut and you saw somebody get mugged and you might have a tip. The concern is maybe you were there and you were more involved than you should have been, and you don't maybe realize that you were involved in a crime. You start speaking because you're trying to be helpful, and all of a sudden you are charged with a crime.
Okay. So this is what's fascinating to me. So let's just say, for hypothetical reasons, there's a business owner out there, and one of their employees was charged with a crime that had no bearing on with the business, weren't involved at all, but they go to the employer to say, hey, we need to find this person. Is that the employer's duty to tell them where they are currently, or what is the best way to go about that?
No, it's not their duty. And they should be particularly careful about that because they have other laws that apply to them. HIPAA protections, potentially. Some of their HR policies could come into play about what information is released and not released, the labor laws. So they don't have to cooperate with that. And really, if law enforcement wants to know that information, they can get a warrant.
Okay. All right. Follow up from the texter here saying that they're not involved with it. So if they're not involved, they're looking for somebody. Is it better just to come straight out to the law enforcement, or is it better to seek out a lawyer and let them handle it?
If you're not involved, it's kind of just literally your choice if you want to be, you know, I don't want to even say Good Samaritan, or if you want to
drug
tell the cops.
Right.
Tell the cops. If you don't, and if you don't want to potentially be a witness later, say, I don't have anything else to say. And get a warrant. If you
don't talk to cops,
you can always call a lawyer for a free consultation,
right,
and ask them, you know, here's kind of my scenario. What would you recommend? And if it's really complex, the lawyer is going to tell you, I can't give you advice one way or another. But if it's pretty simple fact pattern, a lawyer could say, yeah, I think you're safe going and talking to the police, or no, that sounds terrible. Don't go talk to the police. So, I mean, you can always call somebody and ask for a consultation.
And can you remain anonymous if you do? I mean, you can remain anonymous, right, for a tip or not?
That's one of the issues. And anonymous callers, it can become an issue if you go to trial. And so you can remain anonymous if you call in a tip. But if you do that, know potentially that you either, one, will have to come forward later because they capture that information when you call, or if you truly want to, like you're saying, no, I'm leaving the state, then if you're going to come subpoena me for trial, that person might get away with a crime.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a very good question. And again, we do this every Thursday, so if you've got questions, go ahead and text them in to 888-530-0043. Any final thoughts from either of you? Taylor, you hate Johnny Depp.
Don't hate Johnny Depp. Fact. I mean, I'm going to fangirl. I love Johnny Depp.
Okay.
And Pirates. So, you know what?
Right.
No. I'm going to, based on my past this morning, My day so far, I'm going to take Havila's standard. Do not talk to the cops. Don't talk to them ever. Like, if they knock on your door, you don't have to answer unless they have a warrant. Okay.
All right. And then where can people get a hold of you?
A little passionate about that today. They can give me a call at 970-939-8366. And I have a new website, but it's spelled like my name this time.
Look at you go.
I mean, it was too confusing. Now I'm going to make it more confusing.
I like it.
TaylorMade Legal Services.
TaylorLOR, right? All right. TaylorMade Legal Services .com as well. Havila. Final thoughts. You've got a lot going through your head. What do you want to say out there to our listeners?
Accuse her of hating Johnny Depp.
No, I was sitting here thinking.
Well, she defended him. I mean, you were the one questioning it the entire time.
I'm sitting here thinking I'm watching a defamation suit come into play because here's Tanner accusing Taylor of hating Johnny Depp. And, like, I don't know. I don't want to be a part of it, guys.
I've got you both on retainer, so figure it out.
So, yeah, you can contact me at brunolilylegal.com, or you can call me for a free consult at 720-340-1373.
Don't talk to the cops. All right, ladies.
Talk to the cops.
Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking with you again next week, and we'll continue this on, even if it might be a little earlier in the morning. We'll talk about that and much, much more next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Well, you know it's a good hour when I've completely blown my clock, and I have done that, but I promised that I was going to dive into this Warriors Nuggets action tonight. The Nuggets going into tonight are 2-point underdogs at home against the Golden State Warriors. Honestly, I'm surprised they're not bigger underdogs. They're playing into the Denver atmosphere. The home record for the Nuggets was not great this year. In fact, they were 23-18 at home. Is the change of scenery going to be enough to change the direction of this series? I don't think so, guys. I thought about it a lot yesterday. was listening to different takes around and really listening to Brady Hole the other day. I am incredibly nervous about this series. I am incredibly nervous. Michael Malone just, listen, it was a great question posed by Brady the other day about whether we believe Michael Malone is the guy to get the Nuggets over the hump. I don't think he is. I don't. The guy's never done anything that has irritated me or anything. When the Nuggets have been in the series, where's the fiery presser afterwards? Where are those blistering comments calling somebody out that Michael Malone's been known for? I haven't seen any. It seems like he's accepted defeat. Okay, Michael Porter Jr.'s out, Jamal Murray's out. Oh, well. Like, that's just, as a competitor at the highest level, that's just unacceptable. And why is there no pressure, and I mean zero, zip, zilch, none, from the Denver Nuggets to have Jamal Murray play? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Not at all. Jamal Murray needs to play. He's been cleared. They're leaving it up to him. It makes no sense. You got to have the man play. I don't like the Nuggets' chances tonight. And in fact, I think it's going to be a clean sweep. I think the Nuggets will be swept in four games. Swept, for those grammar Nazis out there. And it's unfortunate, because now that opens up a whole lot of issues. But the game tonight, 8 o'clock, the Denver Nuggets taking on the Golden State Warriors at home. Game's on TNT. I mean, if they win a game, it's going to be because Nikola Jokic goes for like 60. And I mean literally 60. That's the only chance they have. The other guys that we say we need more from, they've proven time and time again that we're not going to get any more from. Yesterday, the Colorado Rockies took on the Philadelphia Phillies, 9-6. They lost, but they did win the series. Germán Márquez got smacked around a little bit yesterday, which is something we're not used to seeing from Germán. But the loss actually goes to the hands of Ulysses Chacín, who goes a third innings pitched with three runs given up. Germán went six innings pitched, four earned runs. He gave up three homers. I mean, when they did hit him, they hit the ball hard. Only gave up eight hits. Three of them were home runs. That was the bullpen explosion that we were waiting for. Ulysses Chacín, three earned runs given up. Lucas Gilbreth, I didn't really love that was the debut they gave him. Was the disaster that Chacín had got him into. And Gilbreth gives up two hits, two earned runs as well. Robert Stevenson and Carlos Estevez actually pitched pretty damn well when they came in, but now we move on. I mean, the offense did quite a lot, but, I mean, CJ Cron still rolled, Randall Grichuk. There's just, Ryan McMahon had a great day yesterday at the plate as well. I will say, too, my take on Brendan Rodgers is aging like milk. It's not looking good. We'll have the full Rockies breakdown for you from 2 to 3 today. It is Rockies Rundown presented by Autoplex. Jerry Schimmel and myself will host that show from 2 to 3. We'll talk with Thomas Harding as well. 10:52 the time, closing in on 10:53. I want to say thanks to Doug O'Connell and Chase Schmidt with Futurity First Insurance Group. Get your retirement planned the correct way. Doug O'Connell and Chase Schmidt. 10:53 the time, we'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of NoCo Now right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just Just a couple of minutes left here. NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Good show today. Johnny Depp, just so you know, Johnny, if you're out there listening, you've got 97% of the people out on your side. That 3%, look at that coward not calling in. I'm sitting here calling you out. You won't call in and tell me why you're on Amber Heard's side. Let's go. Thanks to Miles Blumhart with the Coloradoan for jumping on today. Great insight there. Thanks to the lawyers as well, Taylor and Havila. I love that segment every single week. It is it's an absolute blast to have them in here and get to pick their brains. So coming up the rest of the day, here's how it will look. From 11 to noon, you'll have Clark and the coach, Bruce Dick and Clark Johnson. We'll be talking, let's see here, going to talk some baseball. Tate Smith from Eaton, who's going to Oklahoma State, and his teammate Ryder True going to be jumping on the program, as well as Mark Welsh, the Dayspring Christian baseball head coach, will be jumping on today from 11 to noon. Whole show 12 to 2. The Hype House is back. I love that segment that Brady Hull does. The Hype House for tonight's game. He's going to try and talk me into why the Nuggets are going to win tonight. I don't know if he can. Then let's see here. That's noon to 2. 2 to 3. Rockies Rundown. Jerry Schimmel and myself will be talking with Thomas Harding, breaking down the Rockies. Yeah, the bandwagon's going. So if you really want me to break down my real thoughts on it with Jerry, see, Jerry will probably call me out on my BS, so check it out, 2 to 3 today. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll hand it off to the fellas at Dayspring Christian, as they will have Dayspring Christian, excuse me, that's easy for me to say, the Dayspring Christian team taking on Wiggins at 3:30. All right, we'll be back at it tomorrow on a Feel Good Friday. Cody Wilson in the house. We'll have trivia coming right. Hey, trivia tonight, Rule 105 Brewing, 7 o'clock. Be there or be square, because you're not around. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Northern Colorado.